Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings and good morning. I am Sister Nicole, executive producer of the Star and Crescent Report. We are not going to have a live show today. Unfortunately, Brother Rashid Muhammad passed out on the rostrum on Sunday morning while he was doing his lecture, and he is on mandatory bed rest. So today we're going to have a replay of a show that we have done for you earlier this week. I know you'll enjoy, and he will be back on Thursday with the live show. And again, assalamu alaikum, and have a blessed day.
Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it is? I love it. Let's talk about it. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Yeah. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. Man. I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. That's why I praise God for the word that we adhere. The word became flesh, lived for 30 years. Died at 33, but after days reappeared. Jesus Christ's anointed one is pinned in the ear. Or you could say the heir, where the Father made him heir. Of all things, a throne, no, it's more than a chair. But after our redemption, yes, he did take a chair. Greater than the angels, name superior to theirs. This is Hebrews,
chapter 1, Nicodemus.
I'm leaning to the right, the light is where I'm running. I thought I wanted life, drunk, sexed out, and blunted. But all I really wanted was the one who really wanted. Fought death, beat it, gave his life to the public. I love it.
World like I'm from the planet Mars. I love to preach Jesus, you can read it in my bar. I'm pretty straight fire when I'm speaking about my Lord. He paid the sin price being beat by Roman guards. But when he resurrected, gave us life free of charge. Now me and my boys need to be in the psych ward. Why? Cause we went crazy for God, our lives were scarred. Now in the book of life, our names have been written down. We're casting our crowns before its feet on the ground. It's such a holy melody and a heavenly.
You are now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You are tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, in person. And we forever give praise and thanks to our Redeemer and Savior and Deliverer for coming in our midst and finding us worthy to raise up and lead one of His Majesty, one of His divine reflections in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram's 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum. And this is our third and final installment of our powerful, powerful show called The Smell of War and Destruction. Before we go further, for those of you who may be visiting Pensacola, Florida, or who may be in that area, you're welcome to come and join us at Muhammad's Temples of Islam. And it's located at 1500 Martin Luther King Drive, Pensacola, Florida, 32503. You can reach us at 850-292-2085, or you can reach Brother Haroon at 850-376-6729. That's 1500 Martin Luther King Drive, and it says Pensacola, Florida. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, excuse me, Pensacola, Florida, 32503. You can reach us, and we're also going to have something on the, I think, the 12th of July down here, and it's going to be a call back to our self-reflections. We're going to reflect on black unity and doing for self and how we are at a crucial state and juncture of the black nation, especially the lost and found here in the wilderness of North America. We're going to talk about that. Everybody, you're welcome to call and get information and come if you like. We may be able to set up room and board and everything like that. So you're welcome to come. It's going to be the July 12th, July 14th, I believe it is, something like that. I'll have all of the information on the next show, God willing. And we hope that you come join us so that we can have brother and sisterly love in person down here. We'll have spoken word artists there. We'll have a few speakers, and our main speaker will be Brother Minister Earl Muhammad of Temple 15, and he'll be speaking. That brother right there, that's a good brother there. All praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And once that brother gets into it, the brother really gets down teaching and breaking it down. You don't want to miss this, brothers and sisters, so please contact us whenever you get a chance to, all right? All praises due to Allah. Now let's go to our subject. The Smell of War and Destruction, Part 3. Black man and black woman, we don't have to tell you anymore that there's a great build-up for war. You see it. But let us be honest. You know, sometimes it's good to reflect on things. If you have been listening to this show, The Star and Crescent Report, you will know that we have been ahead of time and on time with what we have been saying about the situation that you see befalling America domestically and in her foreign policy. We told you long before there was ever any inkling that war would break out in North Africa and in the Middle East area, that this is where the thing was going to jump off. You see it now. You see American, England, and NATO deploying more weapons and more forces there, more airplanes and more naval vessels. Now you see Iran, China, and Russia doing the same thing. We told you these things long before they happened because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it. You see the buildup for war in Asia. You didn't think that that was going to start taking place at a time years ago when America was claiming that Russia was her, that China was her partner in Asia. We were telling you, don't believe the hype. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that these two will go head to head, right? Now you see exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. Long before anybody reported it, we were telling you this. You see the great buildup for war in Europe and the muscle flexing. We told you that long before it started. How did we know? We knew because Elijah Muhammad had already said it. And everything that he has stated and everything that we are telling you is what is stated, which is the divine manifestation and will of Almighty God Allah. And you cannot make Allah, his prophets, his apostles, and his messengers out to be liars. You can't do it. The will of one is the will of the other. And when you hear Elijah Muhammad speak a word of divine righteousness, that is because Allah has put it in his head and in his heart. Nay, as Muhammad says, Allah has taken over his mind, his heart, his brain, his thinking, and his speeches. So when you hear him, when you see him, you are hearing and seeing the reflection of Allah in person. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't know about you, but I know about the smell of war because it's all in my nostrils. And we know what follows war, nothing but destruction. Brothers and sisters, I want to reflect, as I said. I want you to listen to the arrogance of this insane man, Mr. John McCain. This is only 47 seconds, right? I want you to listen to this, but before I play, I want to put this in perspective. This is the man who ran opposite Barack Obama. While the white man was making jokes and making fun and protesting Obama being born in Kenya, as they say, they never made one joke, never once protested that John McCain admittedly was not born in America. Isn't that something? Yet he was able to run for president. He was not born in America. His birth certificate shows that. He was born in a foreign land, black man and black woman. Yet there was no jokes and no laughter. And I'm not a Barack Obama defender. But what I am is just and fair, and I try to be. And this man here, Mr. McCain, is as crazy as they come. And all he wants is war. I want you to look at how arrogant he is about America and Israel, how arrogant he is about their foreign policy, and how he thinks that he will punk Iran, punk China, and punk Russia from not doing them to protect their own national interests, their own national security. America has the right to do whatever she wants when she deems it in her interest. But he thinks that Russia and China and Iran won't do what they think is in their national interest. This man is crazy as hell. And I don't know what he's been smoking, but he needs to puff and pass because he's crazy as hell. Listen to this.
Senator, there are 5 U.S. warships in the Mediterranean right now. Russia and China allegedly are sending warships as well. Russia, China, and Iran have warned the United States of catastrophic consequences if the United States attacks Syria. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that it doesn't concern me in the slightest.
And why is that?
Because they will not act, just as they didn't act when the Israelis 4 times have taken out targets inside Syria. Syria said that they would react, and they didn't. The United States is the most powerful nation in the world, and we're not going to be intimidated by Russia and China. We are not. So I guarantee you that they will not act. If we launch these strikes against Syria, they will not act.
Senator Ted Cruz.
You see that? He goes back. The United States is the most powerful nation in the world. Does that not ring or bring to mind Babylon? Huh? I am, and there is none other. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, right? They thought they had become drunk on power. But they did not know that God had already worked it out. Well, they must suffer disgrace and poverty. And all of the nations were, as Allah says, they were touched to rise up against Babylon, right? Remember, Babylon was taken in the height of her prime. A lot of you don't know this. When she thought that she was, and there was none other. When she thought that she was the power, and everyone must bow to her. But Muhammad teaches us that she was taken by the surrounding nations, right? That's what Muhammad said. Let's go to chapter 47, I believe it is. I know it's in 40-something, but I want to go to 47 because I believe one of the strongest things is there. 46, 47. Yeah, page 194, 195. Muhammad says, and I'm going to read the whole page 194 because it goes hand in hand when we bring this home on page 195. Listen to what he says. And they call chapter 47 is called America's Dreaded Destiny. It's ironic that in describing the fall of Babylon, Muhammad's title is called America's Dreaded Destiny. Why? Because America would be Babylon on steroids. I am, and there is none other. America's the most powerful nation on earth, and I dare them to act. They have not acted, and we will not be intimidated. They're not trying to intimidate. You are doing the intimidating, right? Sniff the air, black man and black woman. What do you smell? Ha, 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 ha. The smell of war and destruction everywhere. This is part three. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. America and her people have been here, according to history, since a few years after Columbus, the explorer. She conquered the aboriginal Red Indians, the original owners of the land, whom she found here and took it for a home for herself and kind. She has continued conquering until her conquering power has gone around the earth, affecting every civilized nation, submission to her will. She was successful in forcing other people to bow to her will, whether they liked it or not. Isn't that America today? Talk back to me. Isn't that America today? Let's go on and see what Messenger Muhammad has to say about this and about the fate of America, okay? See how her fate ends. He says, now it is the hand of God, which is after America, to force her into submission, a hand from which we have no defense, as it is written and prophesied in the Bible under the name of what, Elijah Muhammad? Babylon. Muhammad goes further and says, Jeremiah 51:25, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, which says the Lord, which destroyed all the earth. Stop right there. We know that this fits America to the T. There is no nation that has waged more wars. There is no occupying nation with the amount of bases. There's no nation that flagrantly pushes or destroys international law when it comes to what she want to do, right? The Bible describes America in these terms. A destroying mountain. Isn't that something? A destroying mountain. Because she is high on her power, and she thinks that she stands at the height of primacy over the other nations. She is a towering mountain over the other hills and valleys, right? So the book calls her a mountain. And that's why Elijah Muhammad says that it is not impossible to remove mountains with high explosives, right? Talk back to me today. Listen to what he says. Behold, I am against thee. Who is I? The Lord of the worlds, the God who is the power. and who has the power to overcome any opposition to his power. I am, and there is none other. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroys all the earth. Well, let us see if this is the description of America. Who overthrew the government of Honduras? Who overthrew Grenada in the war? Who is recolonizing South and Central and Latin America? Who is moving war enforcement and nuclear strategic bombers to Europe? Who is deploying 65 to 75% of their most advanced weapons to Asia? Who has destabilized North Africa and Central Africa? Who is waging war in the Middle East and Central Asia? Who has 12 aircraft carrier groups all around the world covering every waterway of the world? Who? That's America, isn't it? So the book says, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. Stop right there. Uh-oh. So God said he would stretch out his hand against America, right? And will make her a burnt mountain. What does that mean? Because we know that fire symbolizes the anger of God. And this fire has come to a boiling pitch to make America a burnt mountain. That means he will rise up the nations for war against America. Right? You smell it now, don't you? You can't deny it. Because it's clear and evident, the smell of war and destruction is everywhere. Muhammad goes further, quoting the Bible, and he says, Jeremiah 51:53 says, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. What is this talking about? How can she mount up to heaven? You see what she's doing? She's putting up offensive weapons in space. She has gone to the height of the spiritual realm by setting up bases 20 miles from the holiest city on earth, Mecca. So she has mounted up herself to heaven, right? Because in Arabia, even though they're right now governed by the Jews, that is the holiest place on earth, which is considered heaven. And so she has mounted up to heaven, hasn't she? But listen what the scriptures say. And though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. What is this saying to us? How is she fortifying the height of her strength? By reinforcing her troops all over the earth. By building more military bases, by expanding her influence and power through war and through the threat of war. And though she should fortify the height of her strength, right? What did God say? Yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. She's been spoiled in her will. She wanted to overthrow Assad, but Assad is still there. She wanted to depose Brother Muammar Gaddafi. But you can't depose an idea whose time has come. And that's why Gaddafi said that even if you kill me, you can't get rid of me because I am in the heart of the people. Right? The spoilers. Look at what's happening to Libya. They thought that they would be able to just overthrow him, install their government, and take all the riches. But hell is broken loose. And all over North Africa and the Middle East. From me, yes, shall come spoilers. Spoilers for what? For your promises, for your wills, for your aim and your purpose. I am going to spoil this thing that you have planned and plotted and strategized. And I'm going to give you the hell that you have designed for other people. Listen what it goes on and say. Give me time with your black man and black woman. Listen, I feel good this morning. God has given me the interpretations of these things through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I want to share them with you because this is right and exact of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. And it's right and exact with Scripture, and it's right and exact with current events. These are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad illuminated for you, black man and black woman. We have to thank our Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. We have to boldly thank him for giving us such a great salvation in the personage of his last and greatest messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of whom without we would be darkened and muddied in this wicked world. Praise be to Allah. I don't forget what side my bread is buttered on. I don't forget my leader and teacher. I don't forget the God that he represents. I don't forget the teachings that he has given us for the benefit of 68 million of our kind who have been trapped in hell for over 400 years. Right? We always put them and keep them out front, lest we fall victim to hubris and arrogance and become like America is. A fallen power. Let's go further, black man and black woman. He says, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. America is under a destruction. Listen to this good. America is under a destruction similar to that of ancient Babylon. It is so similar that when you look at Babylon's past, you see America's present and future. It is that similar. He says, in the Bible, then he gives us the chapters. Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Revelation of John prophesied concerning her, Babylon. Therefore, is a future Babylon and not a Babylon of the past. America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar. Listen to this again. He uses that word similar again. It's similar to ancient Babylon's enslavement and mistreatment of the Jews according to the scriptures. Why is it similar? Because ancient Babylon, her actions and her fate was a sign of a more modern Babylon, her actions and her fate. So when you look at one, you see the other. Listen to what it says according to the dictionary on the word similar. Almost the same as someone or something else. Having characteristics in common. Strictly comparable. Alike in substance or essentials. Corresponding. Not differing in shape, but only in size or position. That's the definition we need. This is what it says. Not differing in shape, but only in size or position. Now let us go back to this. How is this a description of American Babylon today? They're not differing in policy, only in the scope of the policy, the size and the shape of the policy. Babylon ruled the then known world. America today is trying to rule all of the world. All what? Come on, talk back to me, black man, black woman. They're trying to rule all of it. So they're similar. It says not differing in shape, but only in size and what? Position or scope. So now we got a good definition of America. We've got a good definition of her predecessor, Babylon. Now let us see what happened to her predecessor, Babylon. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, it took the hand of God. Not the hand of China, not the hand of Russia, not her Iskanders, not China's DF-31, not Iran's highly mobile defense system that they're importing from Russia, not Libya, or it took the hand of God. He is the master strategizer, and he has used all of these things as bait, as the book says, that God would put hooks in their jaws, right? Well, how do you get hooks in the jaw? When you're trying to fish, how do you get hooks in the jaws of the fish that you're trying to catch? You put the right bait on it to attract that fish, right? And once that fish bites, it's too late. It realizes then that it is bitten off more than it can chew. It may have gotten the bait, but it can't get off the hook, right? And so what Allah has done, he has given Russia influence in Europe, which was against Americans' interests. So America is bumping up against Russia. See, it's not like it used to be where she would bump up against one power here, and then for a long time, then she would go to the next one. No. Allah has now risen the nations up. So look what the hook is in China. If America doesn't act now, what happens? She loses all of her influence in Asia because China is rising at a pace unheard of. Look what's going on. The thing that she thought she could control in the Middle East with all her proxies and all her puppet governments, it has exploded. Look at North Africa out of control. Look at South America and Central America, the small nations, those 10 horns which are bucking up against this whore. Right? She's going from fire to fire. All of this has been and is being orchestrated by the Lord of the world. He is breaking America down by degrees from which she cannot perceive. And once she finally realizes the situation, she's like that fish that has been nabbed on the hook. She knows that she's going to get pulled out. Yet she's fighting for her last breath. And we know that the fighting is futile, yet nature tells the fish to continue to fight to preserve its life. This is what America is doing. She knows that her fighting to rule the nations, she knows that her fighting against God is futile, but her nature demands that she still try to overcome God. So the book says, it took the hand of God to bring up the king of Babylon and his people into the submission to the power of God. He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime, in the height of her glory. The handwriting on the wall. We see the handwriting on the wall. America is no longer the number one exporter. She's no longer the number one importer. She's no longer the number one manufacturing. Her currency is no longer accepted without question. Her economy is a debt-driven economy, which is a parasitic economy that continues to feed off the misery of others, and the people are getting wise to that. Right? All of this is the handwriting on the wall, the derivative bubbles, the real estate bubbles, and all of these things which can be seen with the physical eye. The handwriting on the wall. And notice that her enemies are the one who are financing her. Her enemies are the one who are buying up her industries and her land and her businesses. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people down, right? What? How did he do it? It says he caused what? The surrounding nations to take Babylon, right? Aren't they doing that? By buying up the debt? By buying up the land? By propping up the markets? The surrounding nations are doing that. Stop for a minute, black man and black woman, and smell. What's next? War and destruction. The smell of war and destruction can be seen, tasted, felt, and smelt in the atmosphere all over America. God has hooked this big fish, and she's trying to fight like hell to get off the rod, to get off the hook that God has put in her jaw. But he's steadily reeling her out of water, and she can hardly breathe. And she's swinging wildly and madly at everything and everybody because she knows that her doom and her hour has come. And it's good in the sight of God. We got a powerful God. We got a powerful Savior in the name of Master Farad Muhammad, who is on the scene to deliver you and I. Listen what's going on in the South China Sea, black man and black woman. I want you to listen. And if we so happen to run over time, bear with us, okay? Because these things are so important here that we've got to get them to you. I want you to listen. And as you listen to this debate, this discussion, I want you to listen to the American, I'm talking about throughout these clips I'm going to play, how the American person that is being interviewed how he only sees the benign actions of America. And I want you to look at the other person who is being interviewed, how he is telling the man in a diplomatic way that all of these problems is because of America. Oh, man. So we'll start with the first clip on why U.S. is trying to contain China, and we'll go from there. Okay, I want you to pay close attention because all this goes in with Scripture, the fall of America, the smell of war and destruction. I love y'all, black men and black women. I love y'all more than you'll ever know. And so I take the time out to do these clips for you. Listen to this, please.
This is the South China Sea, and these pieces of land are at the heart of a growing dispute between the United States and China. The U.S. says China is creating a series of artificial islands there. Washington has also accused Beijing of deploying artillery units on the islands. China's move has drawn a harsh response from the United States. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter, who was attending a security conference in Singapore, said China's actions in the disputed waters are at odds with the international norms.
The United States is deeply concerned about the pace and scope of land reclamation in the South China Sea. The prospect of further militarization, as well as the potential for these activities to increase the risk of miscalculation or conflict among claimant states. There should be an immediate and lasting halt to land reclamation by all claimants.
The comments have triggered a scathing response from China. Beijing is accusing Washington of ignoring history and legal principles.
The United States is disregarding history, legal principles, and facts. China's sovereignty and relevant rights were established in the South China Sea a long time ago. China's island building is legal and reasonable and conforms to the situation and neither impacts nor targets any country.
The South China Sea, which is rich in oil and gas, is claimed by China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Taiwan, and Brunei. Washington has threatened to deploy military aircraft and ships near the Chinese construction sites in the region. Analysts believe the U.S. is trying to contain China's growing regional power.
The Wall Street Journal on Tuesday this week actually laid it all out in an editorial in which they stated very clearly that the danger facing America and the reason that the U.S. must prepare for war is that Russia, China, and Iran have established themselves as leading forces within their region and that they are capable of forming alliances. Now, the main alliance they're looking at is the BRICS.
China has long been considered as an Asian military powerhouse. It has tried to cement its ties with Moscow, which is now at odds with the West. The alliance between China, Russia, and other emerging countries could establish a counterweight against the U.S. global hegemonic interests, especially in Southeast Asia.
It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. Well, how did he do it? He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime. The height of her glory, the handwriting on the wall. Aren't we watching that? If Elijah Muhammad ain't telling us the truth, then why is everything bearing witness to what he said? Huh? All it takes is someone with a bit of common sense to recognize that this man is a man of God, that his teachings are indisputable and undefeatable and invincible. All it takes is just the slightest bit of your eyes being open to recognize that Master Farad Muhammad is indeed God in person. All it takes is a little common sense to recognize that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is your very life, because they're always in motion and they're always being proven true by time, by science, by history, by world events, and by circumstance. How can you deny such a great salvation in your midst? Huh? Even the most strongest and ardent detractors from Elijah Muhammad must admit that this man tells us the truth, right? Even the white man said that in the message to the black, on the back of the message to the black man. Even his detractors had to say, this mild-looking man is the most powerful black man in America. He offers a new way of life. Muhammad prompts even his severest critics to agree when he says he attacks traditional reasons the Negro race is weak. I'm telling you, listen to this. James Baldwin says this because we have these things right before us and we don't recognize them. James Baldwin, in his book, The Fire Next Time, says, Elijah Muhammad has been able to do what generations of welfare workers and committees and resolutions and reports and housing projects and playgrounds have failed to do. He has done all these things which our Christian church has spectacularly failed to do. New York Times Magazine writes, now, if he's a racist, if there was nothing to what he has to say, then why would the New York Times bear him witness? Alone of all Negro leaders, the Negro leaders, Elijah Muhammad has a vivid awareness of the vital need of a new birth in any drastic human transformation. And he alone, not with partners, not with rivals, but he alone mastered the technique of staging a new identity. It is worth remembering that what Elijah Muhammad is doing to the Negro is, in a sense, what America has done to the immigrant from Europe. Giving him a new life, a new purpose, a new aim. How can he do that unless he changes that old thought to a new thought? For you cannot produce something new with something old without something new, right? Come on, talk back to me today. This science. Come on. The smell of war. It's followed by the smell of destruction. Listen to what it says. Former presidential assistant and former Harvard professor, Arthur J. Schlesinger, Jr. in Esquire magazine. Muhammad's movement is unique in that it has thrived outside the Christian tradition and the Protestant community. White Americans have brought this on themselves. And the responsibility can't be evaded by attacking the Muslims. Jet Magazine, Muhammad, a master psychologist, offers identification, definition, and belonging to all those who seek it, and in return gets a loyalty, obedience, and discipline which staggers the imagination. Yes, sir, I submit to that man his God and his mission and the message that he has delivered on his mission. I submit to Elijah Muhammad. I submit to Elijah Muhammad's teachings. I submit to the God that Elijah Muhammad represents. That's a loyalty, an unfledgling, undying loyalty, because I know without Elijah Muhammad, his teachings, what I would be. I would be less than your brother, less than a man, and a savage living among savages in a savage nation. All praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, I can talk Elijah Muhammad all day, every day, or like they say on the street, all day, every day. We can talk this because I mean this. Without the messenger, I am nothing. Some of you, I get, and I thank you, I get the emails. Brother, how did you know this? And brother, oh, brother, you made things clearly. Listen to me good. Without Elijah Muhammad, you wouldn't know about your brother Rashid Muhammad. It's not the other way around. It's not without Rashid Muhammad that you wouldn't know Elijah. It's without Elijah you wouldn't know me. This is the way it is. Don't you ever forget that all that I have learned is from Elijah Muhammad. And if you love that little beacon of light that shines on the Star Crescent Report, you'll love where I get the light. You'll love where the light is emanating from. From that S-U-N of righteousness. That's what I'm trying to direct you to. To stop being moon worshipers, stargazers, and focus on the light of light and energy and life, which emanates from the divine messenger of God through his message. Because what we see today is war breaking out. Nothing but destruction. Let's go back to this South Sea debate. South China Sea debate, because there's so much in here that I want you to hear. And I hope, I feel your patience. Up here it says 16 minutes. We might have to get about 5 or 10 or 15 minutes after the show. So please don't hang up, don't click over, don't do anything until we get these clips, because this is something that you have got to hear. Okay? So we'll go to, the next clip. You know they don't put my clips in order, but here we go, right here.
East China Sea.
Mr. Corp, is it not somewhat hypocritical of the United States to be saying this when the United States has bases all over the world and is present in more than 100 countries? Isn't it somewhat hypocritical for the United States to try to take this initiative when they are everywhere in the world?
Well, we are no place that people don't want us. In fact, given what's happened here, the Filipinos asked us to leave about when the Cold War ended, and we did. We had a base at Clark and Subic, and we left. Now they want us back. The same way with Vietnam. You know, we obviously had a very prolonged conflict with Vietnam, which I was involved in, and now they're inviting us back. So I think we don't go any place unless people ask us to come. In fact, we get criticized when we leave places.
What about that,
Mr.
Den?
People say you don't care anymore.
All right, what about that, Mr. Den? The United States basically is nowhere where the people don't want them to go. I'm wondering, especially those in that area in the South China Sea and the Chinese itself, how they look at this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I would say that, you know, the people of Syria and Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan would have differences with that statement. But also, the United States has 40,000 troops in Japan, 30,000 troops in South Korea, and it has troops in, islands in the Pacific. So China feels that it has to push back, and is already pushing back, even into the Western Hemisphere. It has established closer ties with many Latin American countries. It's building a canal in Nicaragua. And one of the Chinese companies is actually controlling the Panama Canal, which the Americans have built. So you can see each country, China, USA, jockeying for positions. And the real reason why they're doing this is that they need to control resources and trade partners. And China has established a new bank, which many Asian countries and even European countries have joined to the dismayed United States. So. The longer this goes on, China is gaining power while the U.S. is losing power. So China is building facts on the ground as with these islands, and the U.S. is using threats. And we just have to wait and see if the U.S. can back these threats up. And I'm afraid that when it comes to a fighting war, the U.S. will be in no position to back up its allies, whether new allies or all allies, because the U.S. has abandoned its allies in the past, and it's even a weaker position now. So, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Brunei, Malaysia, they know what's happened in the Ukraine, for example. They're hedging their bets. They're leaning towards China economically, but they are not sure what to do militarily. But they have nowhere else to go, because they do fear China, and they are looking toward U.S. and Japan for help, but on the other hand, they don't know if these two countries will deliver in the long run.
Well, what about that?
See, did you hear what Mr. Lin said? He said America is in no position to confront China militarily or economically. She's not in a strong position or that position that she once held. And when this thing breaks out, China is not backing down. I don't know whether or not you realize this, but Obama had to climb down off that high horse against China the other day. We put the article up there. Well, all of a sudden they start changing their rhetoric on what they will do to China. When China says, hey, you better watch what you say or we can go head to head now. See, this is the little tidbit that you don't get in CNN, Fox News, and NBC News, because they say America's the unchallenged superpower. And did you hear this white man? Well, we're no place that we're not wanted. The Philippines asked us to come back. You're a liar. See, he has to lie. You have demanded that the Philippines give you a base back or you were going to cut their trade. You went over there and stoked tensions between Vietnam and China with your two brotherly nations. And you promised them aid and military armament if they stoked tensions with China. You did the same thing with Malaysia and the other nations. Muhammad said she has gone throughout the Asia Pacific causing trouble and dividing brother against brother. What are we seeing today in the Asia Pacific? Huh? Did he lie? Or is time and circumstances and world events vindicating Elijah Muhammad? Rashid Muhammad is just echoing what Elijah said. So if you like and if you listen to what I say, you loving it, what Elijah says. Because I'm not saying anything outside of what he already said. All I'm doing is dusting off the books that were thrown in a closet by these so-called leaders who claim to be teaching his teachings. They threw this in the background so that you would be blindsided by all of this stuff that is going on today. Well, what does the old proverb say? There's no bomb or no weapon that is as powerful as an idea whose time has come. And the idea that Elijah Muhammad is vindicated, that time has come. And everything in nature is bearing witness to vindicate the messenger of God. And that's why the revelation said, and a flood, right, spewed out the dragon. They were trying to drown that pregnant woman who was ready to give birth to a nation, who was ready to give birth to the truth. The false propaganda was trying to drown the truth of God that was ready to be delivered by that pregnant woman who was being chased. But time and circumstances and global events, it said, and the earth opened up and swallowed the flood. So now you'll see that we are cracking the ground and we're exposing the lies and they're drying up. And that woman who is termed in scripture as a pregnant woman, Elijah Muhammad, is now being vindicated, which means that he has given birth to the divine truth that will get you salvation. All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. I love that man. I love that man's God. I love that man's mission. I love that man's message. And I love that man's people. It's a beautiful day to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let us go to the next clip, black man and black woman, because time is of the essence. And I want you to pay close attention. I want you to listen to how this white man justifies everything that America does.
But on the other hand, they don't know if these two countries will deliver in the long run.
Here it comes.
Well, what about that, Mr. Korb, with the presence of American troops, as our guest said, in Philadelphia, in so many places, especially if we look at the number of American troops in South Korea, in Japan, don't you think that that in itself threatens other entities, for example, like China, that feels that it has to try to be more aggressive and try to take or get somewhat of an upper hand?
Well, again, it's important to keep in mind every time we talk about leaving South Korea, we're down to about 20,000. We were up close to 50,000 at the end of the war. And every time we try and leave, people get upset. I used to try and negotiate these things when I was there. Same way with Japan. Every time we say, well, we'd like to pull back to Guam, which is an American territory, people say, no, you'd be sending the wrong signal to the Chinese. So the American presence, I think, in those areas is stabilizing because it sends a message to China and North Korea that if you go, you know, if you become too aggressive or you invade another country, you're going to have to deal with American troops there. And as I said, we've been cutting back. If you look at the size of our military today, it's 1.3 million. When the Cold War ended, it was twice as large. So we have cut back our military and our global presence. But Singapore, where we never were, they've asked us, and we home port three ships there again to send a signal. The Australians have asked us, and we put a few Marines there, again, because they're concerned that an accident would happen or China would get too aggressive and it would lead to a war. So our presence, in my view, is stabilizing.
What about that, Mr. Den? The United States presence all over, and I guess especially in the South China Sea, is a stabilizing presence. How do you see it?
I wouldn't call it stabilizing because the U.S. Will benefit from escalation,
How?
At least from weapon sales. And an accident has already happened. In 2001, a Chinese plane and an American spy plane collided in the air with the death of the Chinese pilot. So the Americans have forgotten about this incident, but the Chinese haven't. And I think that China is in a stronger position now to not let it go so easily. All that happened was a very mild letter of apology from the Americans, and the Chinese demanded $1 million in compensation, which is puny, but the U.S. refused that. So that was 2001. I don't think the next time will be so simply solved. So that was 2001. And I'd like to remind viewers of two incidents of war breaking out over the islands in the so-called South China Sea between Vietnam and China, one in 74 and one in 1988. So two separate incidents in which Vietnam lost 134 soldiers and the Chinese 24. And in 1974, it was the South Vietnamese, who was an American ally. And back then, the U.S. did nothing. So, you know, who knows what the U.S. will do next time when an actual war breaks out. And, you know, it has already broken out twice already.
Mr.
Now, you see how this thing is going? See, they're starting to question America's leadership. They're trying to question America's resolve, and China is more powerful. See, China is not that nation 20 years ago. This is what Mr. Lin is trying to point out. China is not that nation that would fight but did not have the military capabilities to confront America 20 years ago. And America is not that nation that had no rival 20 years ago. The shoes have switched feet. That's why, where's my book, Fall of America? And then I'm going to go to something. Let me go back to page 18, I think it is. Page 18, Fall of America. First paragraph, listen to what the messenger says. And then check this out. And it's in a chapter called Dawn of a New Day. Isn't that something? So we're looking at the change of things because we're in the dawning of a new day or a new era. We're in the early morning, the dawn. The word dawn is early morning or farad. We're in the early morning of change, all right, in the whole world season. Muhammad says, America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. One that she will not be able to carry. Therefore, she must succumb to the powerful forces that are coming against her. The fall of a nation makes way for another. As the earth continues, all nations and their civilizations are limited upon it, except the original nation, which takes on renewals and changes. Now listen to this part. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast. I'm going to deploy 65% of my weaponry over there. I'm going to continue to fly ships over the South, fly airplanes over the South China Sea and send ships there. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast. Elijah Muhammad, tell us. Tell us what's coming. Please tell us what's coming. He says, though in appearance, America seems steadfast. She is moving towards an ultimate end. See, she's doing that because her end is in sight. Her end is in sight, and she knows it. She cannot get around this. Let's go back to something that this man said, the white man said. Not Mr. Lin, but the white man. He says that every time they try to leave Japan, Japan talks them back in the stand, right? This is what he says. See, the white man is a liar, and that's what he does. The lies and the deception comes out of him as easily as a web comes out of a spider. That's just the nature of him. And he is always going to justify himself in whatever he does. But let us go to a news report that just took place 2 days ago. Okay? This is the news report. Now, remember he said that they want to leave Japan and go back to Guam. This is what he said. But the Japanese people keep telling them to stay. Well, according to the International News Report, there are massive protests across not just Okinawa, but across all of Japan, demanding for America to remove her 36, not one, her 36 military bases. To give you a perspective of that, Japan is roughly the size of California, right? America doesn't have 36 military bases in California, one of the largest states in America. Huh? The island of Okinawa, 70% of it is U.S. military bases. Isn't that something? Now, according to the international report, the people in Okinawa are demanding, even the governor of that prefecture or that territory is demanding American troops out. This is what America says. We have no alternative military bases. Now, remember what that white man just said. We want to move to Guam. This is what America's official position is right here. We have no alternative military bases to Okinawa. We must keep them there. And it says America rebuffs the demand of the Okinawans and the Okinawan government in Japan. So now we just caught this man who is talking on international television in a big lie. America's trying to leave them. When the other president of South Korea wanted American troops gone, he wind up being gone. Right? Talk back to me. If I'm lying, history will bear witness against me. This is what I can tell you. I don't go about your feelings and what you think. I'm teaching you the truth. Why is this important to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Because Muhammad says, 231, let me flip to it real quick. He says, many of you may think if America ends her war in Asia, listen, he's talking about Asia, this will bring peace and prosperity to the people of America. They said, we bring the troops home. We can focus that money home in America. Listen what the messenger says. Perhaps someday there may be a lull in the war, but not now. If America and Asia can find a way to bring about a cessation of the war between each other, this does not mean that peace and prosperity is assured. Not at this time. Why not at this time? Because the time for that is over. This is where I go back to you all the time. People are living in 64 and 65, and they're continuing to think that what applied then applies now when they're talking about, we've got to go do such and such. The time has advanced. Right? Listen to this. Good. He says, if America and Asia can find a way to bring about a cessation of the war between each other, this does not mean that peace and prosperity is assured. Not at this time. See, he constantly goes back to the time. Then he says, there is still the Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia and in other parts of Europe to be reckoned with. Stop right there. When the wall came crashing down, they thought that they had beaten America. I mean, beaten prophecy, right? No bullets were fired. The Cold War is over. The wall came tumbling down. Germany is reunified. The communists have been defeated. That's what they had said, right? Where are we at now? There's a new Cold War between Russia and America. The Cold War never stopped. And isn't it ironic that Muhammad says there's still a Cold War in Berlin? Well, what is Berlin? Berlin is the capital of Germany. If you look in German politics, there's about 50% of the people, not just the people, but the politicians want their way with Russia. And then you have Angela Merkel, who is being whitemailed by America and her party, who want to make their way with America. So now Europe has become this divided place, especially over Ukraine and Moldova and all of, listen to what Elijah Muhammad says. There is still the Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia. Now listen to what he says after that. And in other parts of Europe. Now, during the first Cold War, it was just straight Berlin. There was no other parts of Europe that the Cold War was in. It was a divided Germany. So now he must be talking about a future event for this thing to spread from Berlin to other parts of Europe. Now he goes further and says this. Europe will become a dreaded spot, listen, not if, when America leaves Asia. So America's building up her troops there. America's continuing to go forth in Asia as though she is just going to be the superpower. But listen what Allah says through the mouth of his last messenger. It is true. So now if this is true, anything that is opposite is what? False. So if America says she's going to stay in Europe and God says she's going to be kicked out, we know that America is lying. Anyone who holds dear to what America is saying is on the opposite end of what God is saying, so they become an enemy to the truth, an enemy to those who receive the truth, and an enemy of the God of the truth, right? So listen to what he says. It is the truth. It is true, as the prophets have predicted, that America must, now it is binding, it is contractually obligated, that America must come out of Asia or be thrown out. You got that? You got the gist of that? Now let's go further. And now that you got that in your head, let us listen to a couple more of these short clips to see if whether or not this is bearing witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Remember, it is true that America must come out of Asia. If she don't come out willingly, what's going to happen to her? She'll be thrown out. Now let us listen to what they have to say about this situation. Okay, black man and black woman?
You know, it has already broken out twice already.
Mr. Korp, how do you see this? Are we talking about actually basically wanting to control the natural resources in the region? Is it more strategic? How do you see it from both sides?
Well, I see it as respect for international law and the law of the sea. When you have a dispute like these countries have, it's supposed to be resolved by an international body, not by force, by one side going in and constructing facilities there, putting military equipment. I mean, you were talking about the whole international order when people have these disputes, whether it's over Cyprus or, you know, whether you have something off the coast of the Philippines. And my colleague in Philadelphia is making an interesting point. A lot of people criticize the United States for doing too much. He seems to think we're doing too little. And I think that's part of the problem, because as the United States cuts down the size of its military and its military budget, people are worried that we're sending the wrong signal to countries like China or Russia, and that they might try and take advantage of it, and that could lead to a wider war. And so I think the United States is caught between a rock and a hard place. If we're two out there, people say we're being aggressive. If we try and cut back, they say we don't care. And so we're in this situation. And these planes that we're talking about, these patrol planes, they're not armed. I mean, they're anti-submarine warfare and spy planes. They're not fighter planes. They're not going to attack anything. They just go over and they take pictures and they report on what they see.
Mr. Dent, how do you see this? You think that the United States is concerned about the waning of its hegemonic powers as we see the influence of China definitely growing, and you already mentioned the establishment of the international bank that China was behind. How important is all of this to the United States, and what role does this actually play in all of this?
I just want to clarify quickly that I'm not saying the United States does not do too much. It's just that the United States often does not deliver on its promises. So these other countries are leaning temporarily on the United States right now to counterbalance China, very wary of what might happen should a war breaks out, that's all. And the reason why the United States must assert itself in the Western Pacific is that it's losing its position in the war via China and Russia. So it is a declining power. Its industries are mostly gone to China. Its economy is in free fall, despite of all the bogus statistics. So it only has its military strength to maintain its hegemony. And it's such a precarious hegemony that it cannot let go, cannot afford for China to rise You know, and for Russia to rise. That's why it's been demonizing both Russia and China, and that's why China and Russia are coming together and they're building a kind of new world order, a new bloc to counterbalance the United States. And, you know, instead of isolating Russia and China, the United States is finding itself increasingly isolated. And I think that's the trend for the future. The United States will be left out in the cold. So this is sort of his last-ditch effort to maintain his power. And I do not see it as being successful because he does not have a strong foundation economically, industrially, to move forward.
Now, as I'm going to address some of the stuff that they were saying. Brothers and sisters, can I have 5 or 10 more minutes of your time? I want to address a few things, and I'm just checking the news out as he was speaking. And it brought me back to what I was just talking about the Cold War in Berlin. Now, they're having a G7 summit in Germany, according to Russia Today. And they're reporting breaking news. They're saying that people are rising and protesting ahead of the summit in Germany. Right? Listen. Remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? There's still a Cold War. Remember what we said? See, some of these people don't want to be a part of these Western organizations. They know the fate of that. They're protesting and being pepper sprayed, right? And they're clashing with the police because they don't want to be a part of NATO. They don't want to be a part of the EU. They don't want to be a part of this Western system. And then you have the other people who are the enforcers of these systems in this country. So there's still a Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia, right? Elijah Muhammad is being proven true even in breaking news. Now, Mr. Lin said that America is a shell of herself. She is a declining power, and that's why she's lashing out against rising powers. And he says that, and you heard that white man talk about America's benign purpose to not upset the international order. And she has waged wars illegally against Libya and Iraq and Yemen and Somalia and all of these other nations around the world, but she is benign and she is trying to keep up international law. No, what she's trying to keep up is the old world order. But Mr. Lin puts it in words. He says there's a friendship, a partnership between Russia and China that has now been established, and they're trying to usher in what? A new world order. Not like they've been talking about with the white people. Remember what Elijah Muhammad says in the Theology of Time? He says, notice how America's money continues to fall. I don't have the book right before me, but I'm just saying. He says, notice how nations on the outside continue to unite against America. It is written there in the book where it says that they said concerning America, come, let us go up and take her whose city is not fenced in. All right? This is referring to you, America. It is the Asiatic nation who are the ones taking her. All right? What did Mr. Lin just say? Oh, praise due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, another point Mr. Lin said. He said America continues to try to isolate Russia and China and other nations, but she is winding up being the one that is isolated. And he said, and she will become more and more isolated as these things go, because she's not the one that she used to be. She's not the nation. Now, when he said that, immediately my mind went to Fall of America on something that the messenger said up in there. So I flipped to chapter 44, America's Doom Feed. And as I said, it's on page what? 187. Which in police term means a murder, right? So the nations are isolating her to murder America. They want to take her out. So Muhammad says this, we fear the doom of America that is now cutting her to pieces. The prophecy teaches us that her doom will come in one day. One day meaning 1 year, black man and black woman. He says, the prophecy teaches us that her doom will come in one day. Death and mourning came in one day. One day means 1 year. Even after that, she shall utterly be burned with fire. Now listen to this part. Divine prophecy is that America will suffer isolation from the nations of the earth. Now that's what Elijah Muhammad wrote down. Did you hear what Mr. Lin said? That she's becoming more and more isolated and will continue to be more and more isolated. Divine prophecy is that America will suffer isolation from the nations of the earth. But then what is going to happen after the isolation, Muhammad? Well, Rashid, slow down and let me tell you. This is Elijah Muhammad talking back to me. He says, even after that, she shall utterly be burned with fire. Divine prophecy is that America will suffer isolation from the nations of the earth. The revelation of John of the Bible prophesy of America's doom. What we're seeing, isn't this what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us? Can't we just go to books and just point it out? Well, if we can just point it out and we can play clips and we can prove to you that the man is right and time is catching up to what he said, then how can you deny this man? How can you deny this truth? And it gets uglier for America. I want you to listen closely to this clip. I'm not going to hold you. I feel your patience. Let me play this other clip here. Because I cut this part, and Father, I have so many clips to play you, but I'm going to bring it to a closing. If you have questions, put it up, put your hands up. Or if you want to say something, put your hands up. So when I play the clip, we'll go into it a little bit more. Then we'll bring it to an end because I feel your patience, black man and black woman. But I want you to listen to this clip here.
Move forward.
Well, what about that, Mr. Corp? The United States is a waning power, and this is about it basically trying to exert itself and not to lose that power. How do you see what's really happening there?
The United States is not a declining power. I mean, you had two periods when they were unnatural. At the end of World War II, we accounted for 50% of the world's gross domestic product. Obviously, that couldn't go on forever. And at the end of the Cold War, the United States was the preeminent military power in the world. But if you take a look at, you know, our economy and what it's doing and the GDP per capita, we're still one of the, you know, the best in the world. And our military second to none in terms of the equipment that it has. And so I don't see the United States as a declining power. I see the United States trying to prevent the rise of a power like China who would upset the international order and create chaos. The main goal of the United States right now in the Pacific is a Trans-Pacific partnership in which they're going to get all of these countries we're talking about to have a trade zone, including countries in the Americas.
Let me just jump in here, Mr. Corp, with something you said.
President Obama's highest...
Something you just said. You said that the United States basically is looking at China, trying to prevent it from basically creating problems or chaos. But what about from Beijing's perspective, that they look at the United States in its region, in its backyard, and what they say is actually trying to create chaos? Would the United States really be okay, for example, if China was in the Gulf of Mexico? So do you not understand the sensitivity that Beijing has as far as Washington's reaction to all of this?
Well, I think that's one of the things. That's why we have a dialogue with China. The Chinese president's been here. President Obama's been to China. We have a military-to-military exchanges, so we don't have anything any type of accidents will happen. I think this situation is not us against China, is the countries in the region and the United States not wanting them to start a war or respect for international norms. I mean, the Chinese sent their Navy over to Yemen to rescue their citizens. We were fine. They came after the pirates off the coast of Somalia. That wasn't a problem for them. We've had Chinese ships visit the United States, and we visited China. So, no, that's not the, not the issue. The real issue is, can the United States, given that it is the world's preeminent power, make sure that in the 21st century we don't repeat the mistakes of the 20th century,
okay,
which had all kinds of horrible conflicts.
All right, speaking of the mistakes of the 20th century, Mr. Den, what do you think has to be done to make sure that this situation right now does not escalate actually into a war?
I don't see how conflict can be avoided. It might be fought by proxies. But the United States is no longer the preeminent country in the world, and it's a husk of a country. It owes so many people so much money, China in particular. So it's only able to sustain a kind of illusion of power through the strength of the U.S. dollar, which is maintained by strength, by military strength. So I don't think Americans realize how poor they are, and but they will find out soon enough. So, you know, a collision is inevitable, because I don't think the U.S. will go down so quietly. But it has so little leverage right now besides its military belligerence.
Okay.
Because, like I say, economically, industrially, it's a husk of itself.
And
now, haven't we been saying this for the longest, but Mr. Lin said, haven't we been teaching this? And it's ironic that he said a confrontation is inevitable because America does not want to cede our position. But she's a husk of herself economically, and the only way that she can maintain influence is by military power. But now the nations like China and Russia have military power equal to or greater than America. So Muhammad says she's not able to ward off this type of enemy that's coming against her. They're not going to let America go and live anyplace else, he said. They're going to remove her from the face of the planet Earth. And he talks about the situation in Asia. I just talked about it in on page 231. Let me go back to it. When he talks about collision, war is inevitable. Remember what the messenger says. It is true, as the prophets have predicted, that America must come out of it. See, she don't have any choice in the matter. Either come out willingly, or what Muhammad says, or be thrown out. And now the nations have the economic, the political, and the military muscle and resolve to do just that. They didn't have that 10 years ago. They didn't have it 15 years ago. They didn't have it when Elijah Muhammad was saying this. But he saw so much further down the wheel of time. And now you are getting a chance to see the manifestation of God's word as given to us by his last apostle. It's a beautiful day, black man and black woman. What you need to be doing is jumping up, clicking your heels together, saying all praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And on that note, we go to the phone lines. We'll take the 424. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Well, salam, sir. It's always a beautiful day, brother. Wake up to the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the best show for truth, the Star and Crescent Report. I won't even have to ask you how you feel, black man. I just feel like a public place commercial. Great. Yes, sir. All praise to you, sir, Elijah Muhammad. And take on what you said, brother. The messenger said that China has been preparing 50 years to take America. 50 years, brother. All praise to Allah. I just wanted to touch on something with the message that talks about the battle in the sky. He says the final war between Allah, God, and the devil is dangerously close. The very least amount of friction can bring it into action within minutes. There's no such thing as getting ready for this most terrible and dreadful war. They are ready. Preparation for the battle between man and man and nations has been made and carried out on land and water for the past 6,000 years. Man has now become very wise and has learned many of the secrets of nature, which make the old battles with swords and bows and arrows look like child's play. Since 1914, which was the end of the time given to the devil's white race to rule the original people, black nation, man has been preparing for a final showdown in the sky. He has made a remarkable advancement in everything pertaining to a deadly destructive war in the sky, but Allah, the best of planners, having a perfect knowledge of his enemies, prepared for their destruction long ago, even before they were created. Thanks to Allah, to whom eternal praise is due, who came in the flesh and the blood. He has been for more than 70 years making himself ready for the final war. Allah, to whom be praise, comes in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, the great Mahdi, expected by the Muslims and the Antichrist, the devils, under the name Son of Man, Jesus Christ, Messiah, God, Lord, Jehovah, the last Jehovah, and the Christ. These meanings are good and befitting as titles, but the meaning of his name, Mahdi, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, Sharif, chapter 22:54, is better. All of these names refer to him. His name, Farad Muhammad, is beautiful in its meaning. He must bring an end to war, and the only way to end war between man and man is to destroy the war maker, the troublemaker. white race devils, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth. God,
stop right there for a second, brother. Stop right there.
Yes,
it's something that
yes,
you
sir.
Just said.
Yes,
I want
sir.
You to repeat those last few words. The God of what? Has found
so
what?
The God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace.
Stop again. Stop, brother. Hold on. I'm going to keep you on the air for a few minutes. Stop for a second.
Sir.
I want the world to know, not the God of the devil, but the God of the righteous, has found that the white man all over the earth is disagreeable to live with, right?
In peace, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what is his action after finding out that he's disagreeable to live with in peace? Go ahead, brother, and tell us.
Yes, sir, and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth. God does not have to tell us that they're disagreeable to live with in peace. We already know it. For we are the victims of these troublemakers. Allah will fight this war for the sake of his people, the black people, and especially for the American so-called Negro. As I have said time and again, we the so-called American Negroes will be the lucky ones. We are Allah's choice to give life, and we will be put on top of civilization. This is the only way out of the wicked, evil world of the white man is through these teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I'll go back and read that little paragraph again, brother.
Please.
According to the history of the white race devils, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth. God does not have to tell us that they're disagreeable to live with in peace. We already know it, for we are the victims of these troublemakers.
Well, brother, hold on one second. Hold on. But if the God has found them disagreeable to live with, and we have a minister that's integrating you with these people and saying that L. Ron Hubbard signed a way for to change them without grafting, who are we going to follow, the God or this minister? Tell me. I don't know.
Well, brother, as the Most High Muhammad teaches us, and your favorite quote, now go back to what the brother said, if you take any leader other than what I say, you will be the loser. When he was with the messenger, that the white man is the devil. Now, if you go back and contradict your own words, now, brother, you got him on tape. We know the history of this medicine. Now he goes and embraces these people who Allah, messenger, has claimed and came out and taught us that he is our open enemy. And now you follow this man who then tells you, back in the 60s and the 70s, when he was with the messenger, the white man's devil. Now he embraced them and say that we're all of the human family. Then that man right there, brother, is leading you into the destruction and abyss of the hell. That's hypocrisy. What does the messenger say? A hypocrite is one who says he believes and then disbelieves. So can we say that this minister is a believer? Today? No, sir.
All praise and due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad, my brother. Thank you, my brother, for that beautiful presentation. Thank you, my brother. All right, brother. Wa alaikum salam. All praise and due to Allah. We're going to go to the next phone line. First of all, I got to catch myself for a minute. The brother put steak in front of us, and we had to eat it. The brother put all that good stuff out there, so we had to go ahead on and talk about that. And we had to lay everything bare. The messenger say, we clean up as we go. So now we go to the 310. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. We say unto you, Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Well, it's Islam, brother. How you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing excellent. How about yourself?
Just fine, brother. So needless to say, we don't have a torchlight for America, right?
For those of you who don't know what the brother said, The brother is talking about a book that was offered for America's way out. When people listen to me good, and I'm going to go right back to the brother. For those of you who are listening, think about the arrogance. Think about the testicular fortitude one must have to know that God said that there is no way out for them. For God to say that he has found them, and not just the God, but all of the council of gods have found him disagreeable to live with, and all of the prophets, and have come to the conclusion that they must be removed from the planet Earth. And God said America, being the most wicked of all of the white race, is number one on his judgment list, and they have exceeded every limit, therefore no more extension, and they must be dealt with. And then you have a brother who once said, I believe the Honorable